The following shiur has been presented by Rav Yosef Jacobowitz, Mechaber Sefer Gvul Rishonim on Erevin, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
To dedicate a parsha or an entire sefer, please call 1-888-485-8223 or email info@thehalachacenter.org.
Parshas Matis Masei. In Parshas Matis, in the beginning of the parsha, we have the Melchemes Midyan. The Mechoma, the war that Klal Yisrael fought against Midian. And after the successful victory against Mechemes Midian, there are certain mitzvahs that are given in the Torah. The Yomer Lazar HaKoin al Anshe HaTzava, Habam LeMechoma. Lazar HaKoin, he told the Anshe HaTzava, the people from the war who came back from the Mechoma, Zois Chukas HaTorah, this is the Halacha, Asher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told to Moshe Rabbeinu. Ach es azov ves akosef, the gold and the silver, es nechoshes, ves abarzo, es abadil, ves aiforis, all these various metals, kol dovar sheyova be'esh, anything that will come in fire, taviro be'esh v'tar, you should put it through fire and it will become tar. Ach b'mei nida yeschata. V'chol ashalo yova be'esh, anything that does not come in fire, taviro b'mayim, you should put it through water. Chibastem b'gdeichem b'yem ha'shvi, you should wash your begadim, your clothing on the seventh day, utahartem, v'achar, and afterwards, tavoyu ala mochama. In these few short psukim, in our parsha, are contained several halachas, several mitzvahs. We are going to focus today on the dinam of heksha kelim that are included in these psukim. What's taught over here to B'nai Yisrael is that if there is a keli, a vessel, or an object that absorbed in it, had a blia, and it absorbed a trefa flavor, a trefa tam, a tam from something that's usr, something that's treif, before it could be used for cooking, or before it could be eaten with, or before it could be used in any which way for hot food, we have to first kasher the keli. It has to be kashered to eliminate the tam, to eliminate the taste and the flavor of treif that's in it. Only then could it come into contact with hot kosher food. Certainly, it first has to be cleaned to make sure that there's no treif of food on it. If it has treif of food on it, then it will be a problem for it to come into contact with food, even cold. But if we want to use it to cook with, or for it to come into contact with hot kosher food, we first have to make sure that in addition to being cleaned, that the tam, that the taste and flavor of the treif is removed from it. Now this does not come into play nowadays as much as it did in former years. Because nowadays, typically, a couple gets married, they buy new sets of pots and pans, dishes, cutlery. All these things they buy have never previously been used. So although there's a mitzvah of tefilas kelim, which applies to everyone nowadays, to toivel and the mikvah, new kelim that are bought, if it's made out of metal or out of glass or certain other types of kelim, types of vessels. However, the din of heksher kelim, of kashering kelim, does not appear to apply as much nowadays as it did in former years, when it was not possible for everyone to get everything all brand new for every new home. However, there are certain circumstances in which the laws and halachas of kashering still apply, and we're going to discuss some of them today. The classical example is that when one kashers something for Pesach, so it was used for chametz during the year, and now when it comes Pesach, comes the Yom Tov of Pesach, so what was previously used for chametz is, so to speak, treif in regards to Pesach. And in order for the same kli to be used for Pesach that was previously used for chametz, has to be kashered in between to eliminate the chametz tikka blia, the chametz tikka absorbed flavor and taste that's inside of it. Now even this is less negeya, pertains less nowadays than it did even 50 years ago or 30 years ago. There's much less kashering taking place before Pesach. People buy things new for Pesach. There's disposables on the market. Besides disposable dishes, disposable cutlery, you can even buy disposable pots. There are people who have Pesach kitchens that are not forced to cook at all in their chametz tikka kitchen, or definitely not to the same extent as it was in former years. However, there is definitely a certain amount of kashering that's done before Pesach. Another circumstance of kashering that takes place is the infleishiks and milchiks. Although we don't take a chametz tikka, we don't take a fleishik spoon or a fleishik fork and kasher it to make it into milchiks, we don't kasher things back and forth between fleishiks and milchiks, but there are certain times that will be done. For example, some people only have one oven, and the oven is used to cook fleishiks, and it's also used to cook milchiks. And sometimes you want to switch back and forth between cooking fleishiks and milchiks. Is one allowed to do this? Under what circumstance are they allowed to do it? To switch a fork and knife basic kelim back and forth in flesh and milchiks, that we don't do. It's a mug in the rum that says that one should not do that because of the risk that ultimately they'll make mistakes, because sometimes it's fleshiks and sometimes it's milchiks, mistakes will be made. This is mentioned by the mug in the rum in Siman Tov Kuf Tes. Mishnah Berurah brings down this minhag to refrain from kasher things back and forth in flesh and milchiks in two places. Both over there in Siman Tov Kuf Tes, in Mishnah Berurah, Sivkan Chav Hei, as well as in Siman Tov Nun Aleph, by halachas of kashering things for Pesach, it's Sivkan Yutes. And Mishnah Berurah, between the two places, has two eitzes, two solutions for somebody who wants to kasher a keli, a utensil, back and forth from, let's say, from fleishiks to milchiks, or the other way. One way he brings one of the places from the Prima Gadim. In Siman Tov Kuf Tes, he brings from the Prima Gadim, that if you make a treif first, if you do something to make a treif, so then, you could turn around then, and since you have to kasher to make it kosher again, once you're making it kosher, now you could designate it as being fleishiks or milchiks, whichever one you want. Even if previously it was designated as fleishiks, now that it became treif and has to be kasher anyway back to kosher, you could choose to make it milchiks, whatever you'd like. The other option he brings in Siman Tov Nun Aleph in Hilchos Pesach is from a Tshuvas Chassam Sefer, that if you're anyway kashering this item from chametz to Pesach, it was used for chametz during the year, and now you want to make it kosher to Pesach, to use it for Pesach, so once you're kashering it anyway, also you could switch it between fleishiks and milchiks. For example, it was previously used for chametz to fleishiks, and now you're kashering it for Pesach, you could use it for Pesach to milchiks, and then you could keep it for the upcoming year, even after Pesach, and it could be used for milchiks, once you're kashering it anyway. These are the eitzos, the solutions Mishnah Berurah brings from Prima Gadim and from Chasam Sefer. If someone just kashering it from fleishiks to parv, they don't want to make it into milchiks, that there are pesachim that are mekel entirely, that is not part of the Mogen Rum's minig, and that one could do lechatkila, the Marsham and Das Torah, and Siman Tov Nun Aleph says this, and there are pesachim who paskin like that. But the oven, when it comes to switching an oven back and forth between fleishiks and milchiks, that were more mekel, and there the generally accepted practice, the generally accepted minig, is that one could switch an oven back and forth from fleishiks to milchiks. So how does one switch an oven back and forth from fleishiks to milchiks? So the first question that really arises is, what makes the oven fleishiks? People say this oven is fleishiks, that I want to make something milchiks in it, I made something milchiks in it, I made something parv that I want to eat together with milchiks. What made the oven fleishiks? What's fleishiks about the oven? So in most cases, no, the meat did not actually touch anything in the oven. The meat did not touch the oven walls, and nor did the meat touch the oven racks, because typically when one cooks meat or chicken in their oven, they did it in a pan, and the pan is what's touching the rack. And halacha is that blia does not go mikli l'kli v'leroitiv. Blia, the absorbed flavor, does not go from the pan to the rack unless there's moisture, there's wetness between the pan and the rack. And typically the bottom of the pan is dry and the oven rack is also dry. Anything that might have spilled there gets burned up pretty fast from the heat in the oven. And therefore, the rack itself does not have any contact with any actual fleishiks. When people say the oven is fleishiks, usually what made the oven fleishiks is the fact that they cooked, in our example, they cook meat in the oven, and the meat was not covered, and the zeya, the steam that comes out of that meat, spreads all over the oven, and there's halacha in Shulchan Aruch, in Hukas Bas V'cholov, in Yerodea Siman Sadi Beis, that if you have a pot or a pan that you're cooking meat or milk in, and the zeya, the steam comes up, so anything that steam hits, when the steam is still yatsa lettuce boy, when the steam is still boiling hot, attains that status. It also becomes fleishiks or milchiks. So presumably inside the oven it's very hot when one is cooking, and if one made meat or chicken in the oven uncovered, so then the zeya, the steam that comes up from it, it touches the oven walls, it touches the top of the oven, the ceiling of the oven, so to speak, and it becomes fleishiks. And then if one is going to cook milchiks there later on, uncovered, so again, zeya, steam will come out from the milchik pot, and it's going to hit the top and the walls of the oven, and then the milchik steam is going to mix with the fleishik steam that's now going to get pulled out of the top and the walls of the oven, and it's going to all mix together, and what the person is cooking right now in the oven will be basa b'cholof. It's going to be a mixture, a combination of fleishik tam and milchik tam, of the meat flavor from the original meat food that was cooked there, and the milchik flavor from what's being cooked there now. It's basa b'cholof, and it's going to be treif. And now, what you're going to cook afterwards, even part of the things that you're going to cook afterwards in the oven are going to become treif, because again, you're going to cook something new. The steam from that is going to go up and hit the oven walls and the top of the oven, and it's going to pull out the flavor and the tam that's there from the previous steam that was there, which is the basa b'cholof, treif of flavor, treif of tam, and it's going to make everything now that you're cooking treif. So how do we stop this? What's the solution over here? So if somebody has a fleishiks oven, so the easiest way to solve it is to kasher before they want to cook milchiks in the oven, or before they want to cook anything that's going to be eaten directly with milchiks, they should kasher the oven back from fleishiks to parv, and now they can put any milchiks into the oven, and even though what they're cooking milchiks will make the oven milchiks, that's not a problem, because before the next time that they want to switch the oven back to fleishiks, again, they could kasher the oven and make it back to fleishiks. Now, what form of kashering is available to switch the oven back and forth between fleishiks and parv, parv and milchiks, milchiks and parv, etc.? So, the two most famous forms of kashering are hagala and libun. Hagala means that you make the taste come out by making it go through the same process of cooking that you had the first time around. In other words, anything that went through mayim, so it goes back through mayim again, like the pasuk says. And that's lo yovel ba'esh, it's tavir ba'mayim. Anything that, it was, let's say you have a pot that you cooked food in it, you cook fleishka food, and now you want to make this pot back parv, or let's say something treif was cooked in this pot, and now you want to make this parv back to kosher. So the way to kasher it is by boiling up hot water in the pot again, and making all the flavor from the first time around come out into this water, and then you can now, the original tam, the original flavor is nullified, and now you're back to square one, and you cook other things in this pot. Now, how to kasher a pot is a complicated process, so we're not going to get involved in the details for that. It does not come to Geah so often, unless someone messes up in their kitchen and uses a fleishka pot for milchiks or vice versa. So we're not going to delve into the details of that, but that's the concept of agola, of using the water that was the kind of water substance, the liquid substance that was used to create the blia, the flavor in the first place, to undo the flavor, and to undo it, and now you're back to square one. The other process of kashering is called libun. Libun means you use actual heat straight from a fire. If you have a shvud or an askala, Rashi's examples in this parasha and parasha matas of a spit that was used in roasting, and there was treif meat that was roasted on this grill or with the spit. So then the only way to kasher it back is by having the actual flame go onto the spit or the actual flame go on the grill. And that burns out the old flavor, the treif flavor, and brings you back to square one. And now you could roast, or you could barbecue, you could grill kosher things over here. So hagala is the liquid form of kashering, and liban is using the actual heat of the fire to kasher. So we have this oven over here, and the way that it became fleishiks is through zeya. Is through steam, fleishka steam that came out from meat, and it hit the oven walls at the top of the oven, and now we want to kasher the oven back to parv. So now, the options are either libun or hagala. So let's talk about libun first. There's two madregas, two levels in libun, in using actual fire heat to kasher something. There's libun chomer, which is a very heavy, hot level of libun, and there's libun kal, which is a lower level of libun, which does not require the same level of heat. And our example of the kosher fleishka oven that you just want to make back to parv, so you should be allowed to cook milchiks in there uncovered. So libun kal is sufficient. The lower level of libun, the lower level of fire heat. And the reason is because the oven is a terabola. All it absorbed are things that are mutter. Fleishiks is perfectly kosher. Just fleishiks meat is not allowed to be mixed with milk, and therefore before you cook open milchiks in this oven, it has to be kashered back to parv. But there's nothing wrong with the fact that you have fleishiks cooked uncovered in your oven. It's called a tera bola. The absorption was mutter. As opposed to a sura bola, when the oven absorbs something that's aser, then the halacha samar chomer. But because we're dealing with a tera bola over here, that the cooking was done, it was something that's mutter, so libun kal, the lower level of libun is enough. So how high is the level of cooking, or level of heat that's required for libun kal, to kasher your oven from fleishiks back to parv? So the generally accepted psak is that you have to set your oven for the highest possible temperature. Let's not discuss broil now. Let's assume the highest temperature is 550. Some ovens only go up to 500, so in that case it'll be 500. For our example, we'll discuss an oven that makes it to 550. You set your oven to 550. You preheat the oven to 550. When it beeps that hit the temperature of 550, then you keep the oven on for 550 for another 20 minutes, and now it's kashered back to parv. If your oven does not beep when it hit the temperature, and therefore there's no way to know exactly when it hit the highest, when it hit 550, so then we say to put it on 550 for 40 minutes. Because we could safely assume that it does not take more than 20 minutes for it to hit the highest temperature. So you have 20 minutes to hit till it hits 550, and 20 minutes on 550, totaling 40 minutes altogether. However, if your oven is one of the newer ovens that beeps when it hits the temperature, so then 40 minutes will not necessarily be needed. You set it to 550, and once the oven beeps, it could be after 15 minutes, after whatever it is, then you need 20 minutes from then, and then you know for sure that your oven is kashered. If you want to be on the safe side, and you don't want to have to keep track when it beeped, when it hit 550, just put it on 550 for 40 minutes. Now, The Ar Poiskim will say that if the oven has not been used for fleishiks in the past 24 hours, so then you can put milchiks in there lachatchila and you don't have to worry. And the reason is because after 24 hours, the fleishik atam that's been absorbed into the oven walls is already pogum. It's already not a good taste. An eina ben yomai, something that has been a kli, a utensil, or an oven that has not been used for the past 24 hours, the flavor that's absorbed in it no longer gives off a good taste when it comes back out into the food that's newly being cooked in the pot, or newly now being cooked in the oven. So usually there's issur d'rabbanan of using something that's eina ben yomai, otu ben yomai. That means a fleishka pot that was used for fleishiks more than 24 hours ago cannot be used for milchiks, because we're afraid one time you'll make a mistake and use a fleishka pot that was used in the past 24 hours for milchiks, then you'll have real basar b'chol, real treif. However, by an oven, where the whole bli over here is a little questionable, the level of steam and zeh of yatz ledesboy that's traveling around your oven is questionable altogether. If one turns on their oven with meat cooking in it or chicken cooking in it and turns on the light in the oven, they typically will not see steam flying around their oven. The level of blia by the zeya, by the steam in the oven, is not the same as when you cook fleishiks, cook meat in the pot. And therefore, there are places that say that after 24 hours, there's no need to kasha the oven. It could already be used for milchiks right away. In Emes LeYaakov, they bring from Yaakov Kamenetzky like this. And in Moshe Feinstein, the Tshuvas Negers Moshe, although in general, he takes the zeya, the steam in our ovens, pretty seriously. Look at Negers Moshe, Yeradei, Chilak Aleph, Sim and Mem is the primary tshuva on the topic. But in one place, Rav Moshe has mashba that after 24 hours, could be as willing to make all as well. So, the first option for your oven to be able to take a fleishka oven and make milchiks in it, the best option is just to kasher it. Put it on 550, let's say you do it for 40 minutes, then you know you're safe. The second option is if you wait 24 hours, so then according to some places that's good enough, even without kashering the oven. The third option is if the milchka item you're going to make now is covered, so then there's no problem whatsoever. Because since the milchka item you're making now is covered, no steam is going to be coming out of the oven. And since no steam will be coming out of the oven, we don't have to worry about the steam that's in the oven walls. That's not going to come into your milchka food. Your milchka food's not going to mix with that. And there's no problem whatsoever. Alternatively, if the fleishka food that was made within the past 24 hours in your oven was covered, so also there's no problem. Because this oven has not been used for open fleishiks in the past 24 hours. And therefore we could say that halachically it does not have the status of a fleishka oven. So far we have three options how you can make milchiks in your fleishka oven. Either put it on 550 for 40 minutes, or actually 20 minutes after it hits the temperature of 550, or just wait 24 hours in between, or either cover the milchiks or make sure the fleishiks that was made within the past 24 hours was covered the entire time. Or option number four is that there are achrenim who say, there are poskim who say, that if either the fleishiks that was made here in the past 24 hours or the milchiks you want to make now is a davar yavish, is a dry item, the zeya, the steam that comes out of a davar yavish, out of a dry item, does not have halacha consideration, and therefore would not be a concern. The Pitzchei Tshuva and the Yeradei Simon Tzadi Beis of Kohen Vav bring such a thing from the Prima Gadim. Rav Moshe Feinstein, the Tshuva, goes with it. And although, in the end of the Pitzchei Tshuva, he's mitzayin to Shailos Tshuvas Bacha Chadoshes, that does not seem to go like this, and seems to feel that even a dry item, its steam should be taken seriously. However, by our ovens, that we said that there is room to question altogether the level of blia of absorption there is from zeya, from steam. Therefore, we could rely that if either the fleishka item that was made within the past 24 hours, or the milchka item they're making now is dry, so then we do not have to worry about the zeya, and you can make the milchiks in the fleishka oven. Now, let's say the oven is treif and you have to make it to kosher. Let's say someone takes over a house or an apartment from a guy and they want to use the same oven the guy used. So now it's treif and it has to be made into kosher. Or let's say it's a chametz tiga oven that you want to now use to cook for Pesach. So it's isura bala because the treif is aser. Or the chametz, the blias of chametz that are in the oven from the oven being used during the year are aser on Pesach. So here's a big machlokes. Rav Moshe held in this case you need serious libam chomer, which on a modern day basis would mean to self-clean the oven. And without self-cleaning the oven, Rav Moshe held there's no solution unless you either put an insert in the oven, to like a box in the oven that you can do all the cooking in, or unless you cover all the food that you're going to be cooking in your oven, which is certainly not practical on a long-term basis. Maybe it can be done for Pesach for some people. But Rav Moshe's opinion was that it needs to leave a chomer. With a self-clean oven, it's not such a big deal. You could self-clean it, but it has to be on self-clean at least for an hour. Would have to be on self-clean in order to attain the heat necessary to have the libun chama that Moshe requires. Other places are medical, and they say some level of libun kal is good enough also, since the zeya in our ovens is not as such that requires the level of libun chama. Rav Aaron Cutler was of that opinion. And therefore, in Lakewood, all the years, many years ago when they used to take over apartments on a regular basis from Goyim as the yeshiva community was getting bigger and Jews were moving into apartments that Goyim previously lived in and no one was able to afford to buy a new oven. They're using the old oven that the Goy used, so they would put on the highest for 2 hours, and that's what they would do in order to kasher the oven from treif to kosher, and they relied on that. This is before the days of self-clean ovens. Obviously somebody who has the option of self-clean would nowadays just self-clean the oven. Now there's another solution how to kasher the oven using some concept of hagolah. I personally heard from Shmuel Furst from Chicago. He said that Rav Moshe Zatzal said over from his son, a Gunyav Dov Feinstein Shlita, a solution that once the oven's not been yomer, once was not used in the past 24 hours for fleishiks, now you want to kasher it to milchiks, you could put a pan of water in the oven and put the oven on until the whole oven fills up with steam, and that method could be used to kasher the oven. With the system of kabolo kach poltai, since the way the oven became fleishiks with steam, so now you could turn around and make it back to parv by putting the oven on with water, filling up the whole oven with steam. The same solution that I first said could be used for someone who does not have the option of self-clean if they need a kasher, a treif oven, or a chametz oven for Pesach. Obviously, somebody who has self-clean would be the best solution. Now, when people burn their challah, their mafresh, a lady's baking challah, she's mafresh, hafroshas challah, so she has the challah bowl that she wants to burn before she throws it out. So the best way to burn it, one could burn it in the oven. However, one should wrap up the challah bowl in foil and then put it in a disposable foil pan before they put it in the oven to burn it till the point that it becomes inedible. The reason why this should be done, this should be wrapped up and put in a pan, is because that challah that this lady was mafish is not allowed to be eaten by anyone. Certainly not by Yisrael, and our kahanim nowadays are tummy, so not even by a kohen. So it's so to speak kreif. So you don't want the zeya, the steam coming out from this challah bowl spreading around your oven. So it should preferably be wrapped up. If the wrapping comes open, pops open from the heat when the oven's on with the challah bowl burning, don't worry about that because the challah bowl is a davar yavish. It's a dry item. So like we said in the Pesach Tshuva, we could be mekel, we could be lenient about that. However, it's important to put it in a 9x13 pan or some disposable foil pan just to make sure that the challah bowl does not touch the actual oven rack. Because if it touches the oven rack, then the oven rack becomes real treif from the challah bowl. And the only way to kasher back will be with levon chomer, would be self-clean. I hope you have self-clean in your oven if this ever happens to you. And therefore, it's important, it's imperative to make sure the challah bowl does not touch the actual oven. And that's why, whether it is wrapped properly, not wrapped properly, it's very important to put it in a disposable pan before you burn it out. Also, one should not cook any food that they want to eat in the oven at the same time as they're burning their challah, in case the foil wrapping pops open from the challah bowl. If one wants to make sure that the challah bowl was fully burnt, they should not stick a knife in to see if it was fully burnt inside, because by doing that, on the boiling hot challah bowl, they can make their knife treif. Because of all these concerns, some people are noig, since our challah is chutz la'aretz, does not have the same severity and the same din of challah from Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, some people just wrap up the challah bowl and they double wrap it, maybe dispose of it in the garbage. However, there are many people who are noig to do the minig to scrape this challah the proper way in the oven. So the right way to do is to wrap it up in foil, disposable foil, and then put it in a disposable foil pan before you burn it out. In terms of kashering a microwave, according to most poskim, could be cleaned out. And as long as it has not been 24 hours since it's been used, whether for treif or for the opposite use that you want to use it for, if it was used for fleishiks, you want to switch to milchiks, if it was treif, you want to make it kosher. So as long as the microwave oven is clean, has not been used in the past 24 hours for what you're trying to avoid, you could kasher it by putting in a bowl of water and until the whole microwave fills up with steam. Once the whole microwave fills up with steam, the microwave is kashered, similar to the etzah of Rav David Feinstein with kashering the oven from fleishiks to milchiks by filling the whole thing up with steam. There's also a solution of the microwave to wrap everything you want to put in the microwave, or double wrap everything you want to put in the microwave that does not fit with the usual use of the microwave. In the Fleishka microwave, you could double wrap all milchiks you put in, and this way, you'll never have a problem of making microwave treif. However, somebody who tries to that long term, eventually either they or somebody in the family will mess up, and there'll be a mistake, and they'll mistakenly make open milchiks in the Fleishka microwave, so best is someone who could get two microwaves just to get two microwaves. Now, we spoke about kashering an oven. What about the stove top, the grates in the stove top? The Rama says in Siman Tovtun Aleph Sif Dalad, that chatzuva tzricha libun. Chatzuva was some sort of a tripod that was on top of the fire that you put your pots on, which is very similar to the grates on top of our stove top that people put their pots on. Very similar to the old-fashioned chatzuva that the Rama says needs libun to kasher it. The Mishnah Berurah says the libun kal, the lower level of libun is good enough, since the pot is touching the grate, the actual food is not touching the grate, and any food that spills out from the oven onto the grate gets burnt up very fast. And therefore, the Mishnah Berurah says a libun kal, the lower level of libun is good enough. Rav Moshe goes like that, Igros Moshe. The way the Rabbanim and Lake would say, the best way to kasher it is to, if it's an electric stovetop, just put it on the hottest for a few minutes, at least 5 minutes. If it's a gas burner, a gas stovetop, so then cover the burner cover with a wide pot or with a blech, and then put it on the highest for 15 minutes. Don't try to cash all four of your burners at once by covering it with a big blech and putting all four to the highest for 15 minutes. This could be dangerous. In terms of kashering one's sink, which typically comes most negeah for Pesach, sometimes it could be negeah also if someone takes over a house or an apartment from a non-Jew, from a guy, and they want to kasher it to kosher. So, for Pesach, some people put an insert in their sink to avoid having to kasher it. But for those who want to use the sink itself, most sinks nowadays are stainless steel. And therefore, many places can feel you can simply kasher with Iri Mikli Rishon, boiling up a pot of water for until the water is boiling hot, and then pouring it over every spot in the sink. The pot should not have been used for chametz in the past 24 hours. The sink should not have been used for hot chametz in the past 24 hours. And then you can pour your boiling hot water all over every spot of the sink, over the faucet as well. And this way, kasher the sink. You have to make sure to have a direct hit on every part of the sink. Not just to pour the hot water on the sink and have the water splash and roll all over the sink. You have to go up and down the sink and hit every spot. This is why some people find it simpler to use an insert on Pesach. Some people are more machmer and they feel the Iri Mikli Rishon is not good enough on the sink, since sometimes the sink has had contact with hot chametz, that's Dover Gush, and Dover Gush is a solid item, like boiling hot macaroni, which might have a higher level of blia than what Iri Mikli Rishon, than what pouring out of a Kli Rishon could negate, and therefore they kasha their sink with Evan Malubin, with a hot stone, or with an immerser. Somebody who's trying to figure out how they kasha their oven before Pesach should ask their own shayla how to do it. The same applies with kashering counters, that one could do with Iri Mikli Rishon, boiling up a pot of water and pouring it a direct hit on every spot of the counters. Again, someone be machmer to do with Evan Malubin with a stone, pouring that water over a stone before it hits the counter. Everyone should ask their own shayla how to do it. This is in terms of kasher encounters during the years, from fleishiks to milchiks, or from treif to kosher. Someone wants to kasher their counter for Pesach, that's more complicated, because many, or probably even most counters, have some material included in them, which is synthetic. And synthetic materials such as plastic, the minig is that one cannot kasher it for Pesach. Even though during the year, for mica and plastic could be kashered, but the accepted practice by most is not to kasher such materials for Pesach. And therefore, unless one's counter is pure granite, typically anyone else will be covering their counters for Pesach rather than relying on kashering. In terms of kashering a dishwasher, that's also complicated. Most do not kasher dishwashers for Pesach. How does one kasher a dishwasher during the year, from treif to kosher, or from fleishiks to milchiks if need be? That one should ask their own shayla about. Here we're just covering some of the basic cases of kasher and kalim which come negeah nowadays, whether from fleishiks to parv to use it for milchiks, or from treif to kosher, or from chametz to Pesach. There obviously are much more cases which come negeah, especially on an individual basis, if something went wrong in the kitchen, and everyone should speak to their own rav to find out how to kasher if there's a mistake and something goes wrong in their kitchen.
The Beis Chabad on the Parsha series has been brought to you by the Beis Chabad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultations, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Chabad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.